Welcome to WDRT's Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles. As always, my hope is to bring you dynamic voices of change and transformation. Why? Because I believe we've been living in a world that's lost its kindness, and we've been struggling far too long. I do this because I know our better days are ahead, but I also know that we have to consciously choose those better days. And so I look for voices of reason and voices of hope and vision. There's no perfect solution, no single leader who will magically bring about all that's needed. But recognizing our mutual humanity will help. And by becoming caretakers of one another and true stewards of the earth, we can end senseless suffering. I've had little faith in politics, but I have a deep faith in the power of humanity. And when I witness a person's tireless effort to make the world a better place for everyone, they have my respect. With that, I'm grateful to have Francesca Hong in conversation. For those who do not know her, here's your chance to hear from her and to consider the validity of her candidacy to be Wisconsin's next governor. And for those already supporting her, this may be another offering to share with your friends. So here we are. Thank you.
Thanks so much. What a beautiful introduction. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I appreciate the work you do. I've been following you. Actually, I met you at a few gatherings in Madison way back and was very impressed then. So many people go into politics for all kinds of reasons: power, money, ego. What is driving you?
I believe that our politicians should see themselves as a public servant first, to honor the role and make sure that our primary role is to lessen suffering, because I do not think that there is any policy that can make, there is no driving policy to make a perfect world, but we do have to have people who care. And so I think coming from the hospitality industry and being a service industry worker still, I want to center humanity and community in every space that I'm at. And I think we need that in politics right now.
Oh man, I totally agree with you. And thank you for that. So many people right now are conflating your candidacy, I think, and confusing it with a lot of old thinking. I know I was raised with the fear of communism. I'm a little bit older than you, and quite a bit, actually. And that was something we were taught. We were taught to fear. And I know, I've read your policies, and there's nothing about it that is even remotely fearsome. But how do you address those people? What will you say to the people in the Driftless?
We have an authoritarian regime right now that aims to divide us, distract us, and pit us against one another. They want us to be scared and not imagine better. And when we fear one another, I think the opposition, the power is, they're putting power over us. I think the people of Wisconsin deserve to keep their power, and communism is not socialism, and democratic socialism is democratic. And I believe that no one should be too poor to live in Wisconsin, that everyone should have their basic needs met in food, education, housing, and health care. And being a democratic socialist means that I love the Packers and public schools and public good. So just like we have the publicly owned NFL team, I think really good things can come from more of the public being involved.
Yeah, this is a really important message. And it seems to be resonating as you travel. You've done some extensive traveling into a lot of quote unquote red areas. So how is it being received?
People in Wisconsin They care about one another, and they care about their environment. And I think our policies empower people to be able to do those things. Take care of yourself, your loved one, your community, and your environment. And so talking about taxing the ultra rich and making folks pay their fair share for the things we all use, to taking on big tech and putting a moratorium on data centers, that funding public schools to lower property taxes and make sure that our teachers and our communities and our kids have great schools. When I start talking about the issues, there is a lot of alignment, but it's how we start those conversations that actually a lot of campaigns, politicians, Democrats struggle with. And I think that's where my story and my experience actually comes in. And being a single mom right now, in working service industry shifts still, having owned a restaurant, knowing the grind and the struggle of being in that industry for over half my life. I come forward and I have these conversations not just as a state representative or a politician first, but all these other identities I hold so that people can see the common good I hope in me to be able to find common ground on issues that impact Wisconsinites all across the state.
What a breath of fresh air, my friend. I have to say that, because it's not, it hasn't been common. It's not, hasn't been common thinking. And I feel like I was thinking as you were talking of the Wizard of Oz, and you're pulling that curtain. Wasn't it Toto who did that? Pulled the curtain closed. You're exposing, some tremendous falsehoods that we've been that we've lived under, and that we can't all share.
It's
How does it feel being Toto?
Sometimes the right, the opposition, the extremists, they do a tremendous job organizing people from a place of anger and fear. It's a much faster mobilizer, I think, to get folks galvanized and to rally around something because they are scared of it or they are angry about it. It's why so many of our vulnerable communities are made more vulnerable and forced to be resilient, whether it's our immigrant community, our Black and Brown communities, our trans and LGBTQ communities. But it's displacing the problem because the system right now is rigged against everyday ordinary folks and making life harder and making a struggle. And I think more people are, as you said, like pulling back the curtain and seeing that, this is, I can work two, three jobs, try to do everything right, and still things are not fair. And one car accident can take me off of my health care, my job, and ruin my life forever. It should not be like this, and it doesn't have to be. And the more people who are recognizing that now, that's why there's this enormous scale of people who are demanding change, rightfully so. And I think incrementalism there is irresponsible when more people are seeing just how deeply rigged and screwed we're getting.
Right.
We're getting screwed
When
as
you're,
hardworking people across our state.
yeah, and you say incrementalism. Can you elaborate on that?
So if we think about the problems, the big problems that we have, not just in Wisconsin, but in our country, when it comes to wages, never investing in the care economy, whether it's elder care and long-term care, child care, public education, small businesses getting screwed over by large corporations, profits over people. These are big problems where we can't just present the solutions that are nibbling at the edges. The people shouldn't be forced to and told when they can have change and how much of it they can have. And that's why I say incrementalism is irresponsible because it's past time to just be nibbling at the edges with compromised policies. We have to fight for the universal policies, free childcare, fully funded public schools, raising our wages and fair, cheaper health care for everyone, lowering utility costs, and taking on the corporations to make them pay their fair share. They're getting tax breaks that our tax dollars are paying for. And so being bold doesn't mean we won't compromise. It just means we're not going to settle.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for that. And you, I've been very impressed with who the people that are supporting you, not just supporting you, but the volunteers. And it seems that you are unafraid of having good conversations and bringing in, people who are, for lack of better words, experts, people who really care about certain things. I think that that's an amazing quality, and it's definitely not seen in our current administration, and is too often ignored. People talk about the Democrats being a big tent, but I don't think that that's always necessarily been true. You seem to be bringing in a big tent.
Well, the majority is the working class people, right? And right now it's about top down and not necessarily the left, right, and the in-betweens. And so building a broad coalition is so important and shows people that we have that common good and that common ground, where there's bipartisan support for funding our schools and legalizing cannabis. There's bipartisan opposition on data centers and utility companies that, there's bipartisan support for Knowles Nelson ensuring that we are expanding stewardship of our lands. And so we have to be able to have a vision where everyone sees themselves in it, to buy in and support the campaign. And to make better possible together. And I'm really proud that we've got a multi-generational, multi-ethnic and racial, multi-faith, and multi-geographic coalition of folks who are demanding better and more for everyday working class folks.
Yeah, and it seems like that's something that's catching on across the country. Obviously, Mamdani winning was a major, they were all standing, Clinton and all of them were standing behind, forgotten who the other person was that was running. And, clearly his campaign showed what you're talking about, and your campaign is doing the same thing.
The way that the mayor Mamdani was so intentional about his outreach, a lot of people talk about meeting communities where they are. I think it's important. But you have to go a step further in knowing where communities will be and building the trusted relationships in your while campaigning. And we try to find places where gubernatorial candidates may not always go, to reach out to folks who I've been fortunate to have built relationships with communities in my time in the legislature, in get out the vote efforts that aren't just election cycle. But then to ask folks, where are the gatherings that you are having, and how can I attend without, interfering, but create a space where people are willing to have a conversation with me? And I think you saw that with, the many. New York, of course, is much more ethnically and racially diverse, than the entire state of Wisconsin, but people have celebrations, meaningful celebrations in their community that are very hyper local. And I think it's important that we try to find folks in their spaces, just to show that we're not going to prioritize the lobby and the money over the many. That a small town with a gathering of 10 people, while I know not always politically strategic, and sometimes I get pushback on it from my team, because the time as we're heading into the final stretch here, I still think that every conversation matters.
Yeah,
And
and I
so,
appreciate that.
yeah.
Thank you.
That was
Because
a long way of saying I really admire Mayor Mamdani's humility and how he's campaigning.
And it gives me, it's why I was hopeful that you would accept doing an invitation to have this conversation for WDRT because, a lot of others might not have. And I think it's important. I think you're right because regardless of outcome, although we can all be very hopeful, you will have a voice at the table. You will have demonstrated and are demonstrating. The polls have shown it, whether people believe in the polls or don't believe in the polls. But more importantly, people are stepping up. People are finding their courage. They're empowered by your candidacy. This is what I've seen in, social media, looking at things. People are empowered by knowing that you are have the courage, really, to tackle historic confusions. I don't know what else to say about it.
I love that. Historic confusions, distortions, the messiness.
Like that war is such a great thing, that kind of stuff. It's like rah, rah, whatever. But, so here you are, and you, as you said, the primary, which is an open primary in Wisconsin, I hope a lot of people understand that, is August 11th. It's coming up. What will you be doing? Where will you be? And
I will be talking to voters until the very end. Folks got to stay in line. As long as you're in line by 8 p.m. on August 11th, if you're going out to vote, you can still vote. But for me, it will be a day where I continue to have conversations with amazing people across our state.
And it's working. And again, the people who are sharing, I just heard the other day from someone, so an elderly couple who had heard about you through social media, something that someone posted. And they hadn't, that was it. That was the way they heard. And their absentee ballot came and you got their vote, And I was thrilled, to see that that kind of outreach is happening because, there was on the radio today, NPR, they were boasting on the great monies that are pouring in to some of the people who you'll be running, who you are running against. And I thought, well, if it was just money, if it was just money, if people can't take the time to really invest their own understanding, their own personal understanding, and look at themselves and see, what is it that I really want? Especially for the old ones, it's like, what do you want to leave behind? Do you want to leave behind transmission lines running through the Midwest, the Driftless area? Do you want to leave, sand mining? Is this what you want? Or can you begin to make that conversion? Can you begin to realize, okay, maybe we were wrong. Maybe we've been led by people with money who could advertise nicely. Maybe we've been tricked. But maybe we can change and we have time because August 11th, it could be an eternity if we do it wisely. So yeah, talk to me about your team. Talk to me about, that caring that you keep bringing up that clearly is expressed in your candidacy.
I am so fortunate to be surrounded by amazing people on my campaign team who are very generous in letting me go rogue once in a while and encouraging me and reminding me that being myself is what will make me a strong candidate. My confidence has wavered as we've seen more opposition and negativity come out about our campaign at times. But I have a team who are not only supportive, but check me when they say you're letting this get to you when we know you're better, when you're better than this. I also am very proud that we have a team where folks who have deep institutional knowledge of campaigns and working for the party, and then we have folks who have never worked on a campaign before. And I think this holds us to, keeps us from getting too tunnel vision, perpetuates creativity. We challenge one another, we support one another. But above all, our volunteer community. When I say this is the year of the many and not just the money, it is our volunteers who, I would say, more than we're empowering, I feel like I have a responsibility to share power, share the platform, and then they take it to meet communities and hold events that are joyful, potlucks, playdates, repair cafes, dance parties, and to bring politics into these spaces to more naturally be in conversation, but also be held in conditions that aren't strict or and cold. I think that the team in the community building of a campaign shows its strength, and we're trying to build community wherever we go.
I totally agree. I love that you have talked about food. I just listened to an interview that you did, and you were talking about the importance of eating with one another. And it's something that I've shared with people in conversation before. I had a young Palestinian man living in Viroqua, and we did an interview, and out of it grew a wonderful dinner for Eid. And it helps people start to learn, about each other, and we need that. And it takes time. I'm the escalator or whatever it is, the conveyor belt is moving for me. I'm getting closer to that time. I know,
You
girl,
talk a lot about age here. I think
but
that these are timeless conversations, and the folks who care a lot, we're having this conversation because we know that we care for our next generation.
right. And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's because you start to realize that. Again, you start to realize what more can still happen, So that's where I'm at on it. I'm not fearful, and I'm not whatever, it's just what I know. I know that this is our moment. This is our moment. And I love the playfulness that I see. I love the way your team has, the creativity. I think these are things that need to be injected again into our society. And you're doing a great job of it. Not just you. When I say you, I mean the plural you.
The team,
Yeah, the bigger you. And when I say breath of fresh air, it's because it is. I mean, again, the longevity of my time that I keep referring to is because it's like I've waited to hear you and others. I've waited, I've tried to see this kind of moment happening for people. So for me, it's exciting. It's exciting. And I know that it needs to be felt by everyone. I know that we need to stop being so afraid of the money that's the pushback. Because the kind of caring and the kind of reaching out that can be done person to person is so much more important. It's so much more, and it's lasting. A lot of these things that people have paid for, a lot of these advertisements and things, you wake up one day and go, wow, why did I buy that? What convinced me that that was a good thing, right? But when it's from the heart, when it's from the heart, it's a whole different thing. You never wake up and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. That's how I feel. And I do appreciate early on you just talked about your vulnerability when you feel vulnerable and people support you. I think that that's an amazing and unusual comment from someone who's running. And it's one that I find hopeful, if nothing else, because it will always be that way. Because you never know. I mean, this morning I've already had to deal with a bat in my house.
A bat?
A bat.
Oh,
A big bat, too, not a little bat.
oh.
But, I mean, it's like you never know what's coming. And
Mm-hmm.
it's like, can you, what will you, what should you, let the bat live, let it live in the house. We can just shut the door. Anyway, I don't mean to make light of what you're doing. I find it fascinating. So will you be in the hood? Will you be in the Driftless around Viroqua? Maybe I can convince you to come closer to Ontario.
Well, things are a little bit flexible on our route up to Superior next week for the Wisconsin Public Education Network convention. So I'm hoping to make a stop, but I have to make a plug for one of our staff. Our political director is from Reedstown, so I have a affinity for the Viroqua area and Driftless, and we'll be sure to let you know as soon as we finalize our travel.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be great to
Yeah.
see you again. And to let people know where they can connect with you. But if not through in-person meetings, you're doing some wonderful your staff and you are doing some wonderful whatever reels, I guess they're called today. Reels.
We'll keep meeting people where they are includes the digital space. But I do plan on getting to the Driftless, and then there is the forum in Belmont, at the Belmont Convention next Saturday, I believe. But I think Western Wisconsin will be a deciding factor in elections to come. And we're excited to see all the organizing work of folks on the ground really showing through and building democratic power there. The numbers are showing it, but also I feel like the community conversations are shifting.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen. What was the something else I wanted? Make better possible. Make better possible your slogan. And I think you're
Oh,
being
we make better possible.
Okay. I like that. We make better possible. And so do you want to take a few minutes just to speak about some of your policies? And I guess I should say that, well, you can learn more about France policies at francescahong.com, right?
Yes.
But in the meantime, give us a little snapshot.
Yes. We cannot have a strong democracy without strong public education. And so, fully funding our public schools and ensuring that we're putting a responsible end to the voucher program. We're prioritizing fair, cheaper healthcare for everyone with a public option and expanding voucher care. Ensuring that there's free childcare for families while making sure providers are having support through their. We are supporting our childcare providers and paid leave for all. No worker should have to choose between their working hours and, taking care of a loved one or an aging parent or a new baby. And we are the only campaign to have a comprehensive plan to regulate AI and take on data centers with a moratorium on the construction of new data centers and lower utility costs by putting a 2% rate cap for energy burden families. And so these are plans to lower costs and help people keep more money in their pockets while holding the ultra rich accountable and taxing the billionaires and millionaires and removing corporate subsidies and corporate welfare and those tax breaks that they get through loopholes. So it's making government efficient, but more importantly, making government a force of good to be there for when people need it.
A force for good. I think that's what we'll call this podcast. a force for good. I always look for that little snippet, and I think that's an alignment that I feel deeply, and it's been something that, like I said, I've cared about and pushed for and hoped for my entire life.
Yeah.
So before we close out, is there anything more that you think people need to know about you and your campaign?
Our slogan, "We Make Better Possible," it is about how we as everyday working class Wisconsinites have the power to demand and make a government that helps improve the conditions of our lives, makes life easier, and it's active. That's why the word make is in it. And when we stop imagining better, when we stop having hope for a better future, that's really when fascism, authoritarianism wins. That's when, so we reclaim our power when we know that we can make better possible together. And no matter what happens, on August 11th, and please go vote on August 11th or make your plan to vote absentee. Early vote starts July 28th, and then make your plan to vote again for the November 3rd general election. We can only make better possible when we use our collective power and voices. So I encourage everyone to do their best to stay engaged, do your homework, and choose the person you think cares the most about the people of our state.
Okay, then, yes. So you've been listening to Changing the Narrative with Dina Eccles here on WDRT. My guest has been Francesca Hong, who is running as a Democratic Socialist to be the next governor of Wisconsin on the Democratic ticket. The open primary is August 11th. The election will be November 3rd. We all get to play a part in the democratic process, and being informed is our civic duty. You can find out more about Fran and her policies at francescahong.com. This has been a real delight, and I know you're busy, and so I'm very grateful that you could take the time. And hopefully the Zoom will work.
Thank you so much. This was a wonderful conversation. I really appreciate all you're doing, Dina, to help make this a better place for all of us too. I think conversations really matter.
I do too. Thank you.
Of course. Hopefully we'll see you soon. We'll let
Bye.
you know.